You are Locked On Wolverines, your daily podcast on the Michigan Wolverines, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
We are still in the throes of a very kind of mundane part of the offseason for Michigan football, and there's nothing Michigan basketball to discuss. Locked On Wolverines podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, where it's your team every day. I am your man on the ground, Isaiah Hull, publisher of Wolverines Wire through USA Today Sports Media Group. We're going to do three things today, and I think that'll hopefully sustain us. Because as I sit there and think about it, I'm like, can I talk about these things for that long? And not to necessarily get all meta on you, but that's kind of where it is. Because it's hard to really tell. It's hard to really tell what is seriously talk-worthy. So really no groundbreaking news. We'll do kind of like a hodgepodge of things. I think to start things out, we're going to, that's going to include just a couple recruiting things since tomorrow is National Signing Day. And then we'll get into some odds, some futures, thanks courtesy of our partner FanDuel. And I had a third thing planned. I can't remember what it is. Oh, yeah. Kind of the month that was, because it was an eventful month. It's weird how many days it's been where it's like, there's really not a lot to talk about considering how eventful of a month it was. So let's get to the hodgepodge. As I said, we got National Signing Day tomorrow. Used to be a huge event. Not so much anymore. Really, Michigan is focused on three guys, to my knowledge. That's Nicholas Harbor, Cameron Brandt, Jamel Howard. I am gonna look up. One here. We're gonna make sure that what I'm talking about is up to date because things can change on a dime here. But those would be the ones that Michigan's waiting on. From the various reports I've seen out there, Nicholas Harbor does not look like it's a good news situation probably for Michigan, which is disappointing considering, again, Michigan led for the bulk of his recruitment, even though the crystal ball hasn't necessarily reflected that, right? He still has 100% crystal ball indicating South Carolina is the choice. Seems like it's probably South Carolina or Oregon. Then you've got some out there saying, hey, it could be Maryland. No one's really saying anything about Michigan, but just it seems like things kind of changed for Nicholas Harbor because, well, before it was like he is not concerned about NIL at all. It does seem like he is extremely concerned about NIL. Michigan hasn't yet announced it's a partnership with the three-letter agency, of which I know which one it is. It's, well, let me just put it this way. It's one of the big three in terms of at least overall talent agencies. But that I would imagine that they probably slipped like, hey, we're going to do this, and it still hasn't made much of a difference. But he is making his commitment on ESPN tomorrow, on Wednesday. And it's right now not seeming like it's probably going to go Michigan's way, which is really disappointing. But he's a man kind of without a position. He, you know, doesn't want to bulk up. He really kind of looks more like he should be an edge prospect, but probably is going to be a tight end due to his track. Just because he's 6'5", 225. I mean, I think he's not really a great route runner. So it's not like he could necessarily be Calvin Johnson, but maybe he could. I don't know. Then you got Cameron Brandt, who seems like he's probably coming to Michigan. Still committed to Stanford at the moment, but his crystal ball now firmly points towards Michigan 80%. He is a 4-star defensive lineman, according to 24/7 Sports proprietary rankings, a 3-star in the composite. So, I mean, that would be a really good get for Michigan. I mean, they've already got a couple of defensive linemen. They got Brooks Barr. They've got, name is escaping me, so I'm going to have to look it up because y'all know how well my memory works if you watch this show frequently. Roderick Pierce, Trey Pierce. He's the other one I was thinking of. So that would be a good get, especially because they really need to continue to get really good defensive tackles inbounds. So that one feels like that one's pretty good. He hails from Chatsworth, California, which is down in Southern California. So that'll be interesting. He's already 6'4", 260. Especially with some of the projects and stuff that they've lost on top of Mozzie Smith. I think that, you know, George Rooks being gone, Julius Welskoff being gone. I think that would be big to get in a guy that has that kind of caliber, being a four-star. And then the last one that I want to mention is Jamel Howard, who I don't know that he is deciding tomorrow. The three-star who was formerly committed to Wisconsin. He still got crystal balls for him between Wisconsin and Michigan. LSU and Miami are some of the schools who have entered the fray. So it doesn't necessarily feel like he's going to make his decision tomorrow. We'll see, I guess. He did get a crystal ball prediction from Steve Wiltfong to go back to Wisconsin. So maybe he stays there. But it was a guy that seemed like he was going to be Michigan's to lose. And looks like maybe they lost him. So kind of whimpering down the stretch. Which is disappointing, kind of considering the quality of the class is not what you would hope, given what Michigan's been able to do. So they need to figure it out. So that's our recruiting aspect. The good news that came today is we can officially, truly move on from the Jim Harbaugh Denver Broncos saga, because they have hired Sean Payton. And I mean, if you've been watching or listening to this show, granted, I haven't come at you with any inside info or anything like that when it comes to this. Not like I did 2 years ago when I was able to say pretty confidently that Harbaugh was not going anywhere. Last year, I didn't have any inside info and I brought to you what the people who did had to say. But I could have told you that he wasn't going to go there for, you know, the bulk of this series here. Yet, as it's long been, it was the NFL people who wanted to insist, hey, he might go to Denver. He hasn't signed with Michigan. Well, we know why he hasn't signed with Michigan. They're waiting for his NCAA, whatever they're going to do and that whole thing to be resolved. But hey, he hasn't signed. That must mean he wants to go to Denver. Nope. It's a testament to how much it seems that Denver wanted him, considering it, all of these NFL guys are sitting there talking about Jim Harbaugh still, right? Whereas like last year, no one even really truly wanted him. Oh, that poor dude. He didn't even really, whatever. So now, at least he's in a situation where it's like, yeah, he was really wanted by Denver. That's very clear that he was wanted by Denver. You know, he put his spin on it after the Minnesota Vikings thing last year and no one was buying it. Whereas this time around, he said no. Denver's like, well, we're coming out there. He said no. And then suddenly you've got Ian Rappaport on the Pat McAfee show and you've got all these Denver writers being like, oh, mate, you know, it's not done. You know, Oakland's still in play, proverbially speaking. And finally, they've moved on and got Sean Payton. So that's good for them in pretty much every facet. I do like the whole, if Jim Harbaugh is going to go to the NFL, Denver would be the, okay. That's every choice, right? That's why the joke has long been, like, he's always wanted to coach at Jacksonville. He's just always wanted to be Arizona Cardinals. that's just really been, you know, he's been there before. He was there for the Fiesta Bowl. Why do you think he was there? So at least we can finally put that to rest. That's the good news. Meanwhile, I don't really have anything from the Senior Bowl, but we got three guys who are in the Senior Bowl. So good luck to them. They start out their journey. I'm sure we'll talk about that as the week goes on. But I think that's the bulk of our news. The only other thing is one recruiting point, and that's Jacob Oden, who's making his commitment between Michigan, Michigan State, Penn State, Tennessee, and Iowa on Thursday at 6 p.m. And I hope he makes it on time because I have a movie at 7. So, but he would be the one that I would say, if Michigan doesn't get him, They really messed up because I don't have a crystal ball anymore, but I can tell you just from conversations I had 2 years ago, I would have very comfortably predicted him to come to Michigan. His dad, being a Michigan alum, being part of it, Rod Oden, the head coach of Harper Woods, where he plays, my conversations with Jacob Oden, which was even before he was offered. But four-star safety from Harper Woods. I think that Michigan is certainly going to be celebrating that day on Thursday. And at least 2024 is out to a good start here, right? Because they've got, what, five commits and three of them are four stars, rather? Let's take a little quick gander just to be sure. So, yeah, they're all four stars except for the international commitment, Manuel Beagle, who is getting his start in the U.S. this year at Choate Rosemary Hall, which is a familiar high school. But because Ted Hammond got his fourth star. So right now, granted, they're all outside of the top 100 in the composite, according to 24/7 Sports. But right now, they've got five commits and four of the five are four stars. So that's a heck of a lot better than what we've even seen in 2023, where they had, well, four stars, all kind of ranked around the same spot. So at least it's a better start. And hopefully Michigan can, I am 100% fine with the type of scenarios like where they're getting some lower rated guys in a class like 2018, because obviously as long as they develop, then that's fine. You can have a down class. You just have to be able to surround it with up classes. I am one of the first people that says, you know what, I don't really care that much where a guy is rated, as long as they're making good evaluations, but it is a decent predictor of success. It's not foolproof. We've seen Jim Harbaugh's been better with three and four stars than he has been five stars. But at the same time, you would like to see what he can do with maybe, you know, a couple five stars in the class. But right now, according to Joel Klatt, not a lot of five stars. There's only one five star in the 2023 class in the Big Ten. So, and that belongs to Brandon Innes, the wide receiver from Ohio State. So it's not exactly a situation where it's like, well, Ohio State brought in 18 five stars like they did a couple years ago. So Michigan's in an okay position. All right, let's move on and discuss some FanDuel stuff. Before we do that, let's actually, you know what? This year, the only app you need at your Super Bowl party is FanDuel, America's number one sports book. We're really excited about our new sports betting partner for Locked On because they're the number one sports book in America, FanDuel. And if you're new to FanDuel, that's even better. They have so many great features that make betting on sports fun and easy. Download FanDuel now so you can bet Super Bowl 57 with a no-sweat first bet. You'll get up to $3,000 back in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. FanDuel lets you bet on everything from the money line to point spreads to who will score a touchdown. The FanDuel sports book app, is safe, secure, and super easy to use. Best of all, you can get paid your winnings instantly. So join FanDuel today at FanDuel.com/lockdown to claim your no-sweat first bet on Super Bowl 57. That's FanDuel.com/lockdown. Make every moment more with FanDuel, official sportsbook partner of the NFL. All right, so I took a little quick gander at some sports betting futures through the FanDuel app, which I'm going to pull out here on my trusty telephone here. So the first one that I wanted to take a look at was the futures for the championship this next year. And I think Michigan's in an okay place. I mean, it's a lot better than we've seen in the last couple of years, of course. And now they are ranked fourth, if you were to rank them, in the championship odds. Ahead of them is Georgia at plus 250, Alabama at plus 450, Ohio State at plus 700, which I get. Ohio State is still going to kind of get that. I mean, they were in the playoff despite the blowout loss to Michigan at home. And then there's Michigan at plus 1,200. Michigan, I think, is in a prime spot, though, obviously, given the personnel. Now, Georgia, you know, we got to see a little bit of the guy who's going to be likely taking over for Stetson Bennett in the national championship game. Alabama, we've seen a little bit of the backup who's supposed to take over there in the kind of mid-season. Remember listening to that game against Texas A&M on a drive back from, I believe it was Indiana. Ohio State, we've seen Drew McCord or Kyle McCord, whatever his name is, McCord. And I swear, my memory is just, you would not believe how good my memory used to be. If you were like one of my friends in high school, you'd be shocked at how I can't remember anything now, because I remembered everything before. But Michigan returns so much, right? They return J.J. McCarthy, they return Blake Corum, they return Donovan Edwards, three-fifths of their offensive line, Colston Loveland. Obviously, they did lose Luke Schoonmaker, pretty much all of the receivers except for Ronnie Bell, as far as the actual production is concerned. It's a good situation for Michigan, kind of compared to some of these other schools that lost a bit more. Usually when you see a school have so many returning starters, that's usually when they take that step forward. Michigan's kind of been playing above its class in some ways, and its weight class, because generally you do see it's when a school is maybe not as laden with talent with five stars, the way that the first three that I just mentioned are, you see them really come on when their quarterback is a senior, junior, senior, and it has a year of starting under their belt, and you see the same just kind of across the board. And Michigan's got it at every position. You go from quarterback, upperclassmen, running backs, two upperclassmen. Offensive line is just full of upperclassmen, either guys who are already on campus or transferred in. Tight end is the only one that on the offense that doesn't really have it. Wide receiver does. Defensive tackle will have two upperclassmen if it is Chris Jenkins and Rayshon Benny, which I probably think it would be. Same thing at defensive end, at edge rusher. Jalen Harrell, Braden McGregor, upperclassmen, seniors both. Linebackers, I mean, same deal. Junior Colson, junior. Michael Barrett in his 25th year playing at Michigan. Kalel Mullings, upperclassman. You hope that you get Nikhyle Green back, who, again, senior. Then secondary, senior Makari Page, junior Rod Moore, the senior R.J. Moten. Now, cornerback is the only one that isn't that. Junior Jaden McBurrows, if he's the one that ends up going. And then a sophomore in Will Johnson. So, I mean, that's about as, like, laden with experience and talent as you can have. Not to mention some of the transfers I didn't mention. Edge rusher Josiah Scott. Tight end A.J. Barner. Guys who can make a difference. So, that is that. But what I really am interested in here is the Heisman Trophy winner. So, Caleb Williams is leading the charge there at plus 400. The first few don't surprise me behind him. Drake May, Michael Penix, Bo Nix, Jordan Travis, Sam Hartman. That's when things get a little bit shaky for me. Drew Aller at plus 2,000. These next ones are all... So, we're from plus 2,000 to plus 2,500. Drew Aller, who we've seen a little bit of at Penn State. It didn't look bad. It didn't look great, but it's like, okay, why is he that high? Jaden Daniels, LSU. Joe Milton at Tennessee, former Michigan guy. That one I think is fine, considering how he finished out the year. Kyle McCord from Ohio State, Cade Klubnik, and Quinn Ewers are all ahead of Blake Corum and J.J. McCarthy, who are both at plus 3,000. To me, that seems a little weird. Especially when you have to go even further down the list to get, like, Marvin Harrison Jr., Will Shipley, Cameron Rising, Braylon Allen, Devin Leary. You know, you have to start going down the list for some of these guys. Donovan Edwards comes in at plus 10,000. I mean, Vegas knows what they're doing, of course. But it is just bizarre that, like, semi-proven quarterback who got a full year of starting and J.J. McCarthy behind guys who haven't had that experience in Kyle McCord and Drew Aller. Blake Corum, who by all accounts would have probably won the Heisman Trophy had he not been injured, being behind all those guys. Now, granted, I believe he's the first running back on there. So I think that might be fair. Everyone else is a quarterback. So, okay, fine. I guess that's okay. It's the first running back. It is a quarterback award pretty much. Just bizarre. That's all I got. Vegas knows what they're doing. That's for sure. All right, we're going to continue on here momentarily. Let's take a quick back look on the month that was, because it was a busy, busy month. The month of January is mercifully ending. I don't know if it's completely, there's parts of it where it's kind of like, well, I think some Michigan fans probably want a lot of it, some of it back, because there was some really good stuff that happened. I'm not going to go through the timeline in the order of it happening. I'm just going to go use my awful memory. You know, I'm not going to claim that anymore, but my occasionally failing memory, but my memory that is going to round into form and round into shape. Yeah, let's do that. It all pretty much started, obviously, on January 1st while people were reeling from a loss that probably shouldn't have been. Now, if you really want to get technical about it, it all started this month, this year, started with Ohio State missing a kick to keep them out of the national championship game. So I think that's probably, let's at least start it on a high note. But then that's when things started getting kind of weird, right? There was a couple days go by, and you got Jim Harbaugh out there saying, hey, guess what? I'm coming back, with the caveat that he used in December, on December 4th, no man knows what the future holds. And then kind of find out why when later that night, the timing of it all, when you find out that there are NCAA violations being alleged, which it went from rumor to fact in a matter of an hour or so. Then you had the NFL comes calling. We're calling. We want it. You hear kind of around that same time, He talked to the Panthers. He interviewed with the Denver Broncos via Zoom. So now no one knows what to believe. But in the meantime, you had a rash of guys deciding to come back. You had Blake Corum kind of kicking that whole thing off. And that was like getting a five-star, getting a five-star commitment. Right? That takes the sting out of the class to some degree. When you get a guy who probably shouldn't come back, deciding he's going to, that produces at the level he did. I mean, he is a five-star caliber player. Michigan's got him for another year. So you got him coming back. You've got all these other players, Trevor Keegan, Cornelius Johnson, Zach Zinter, all of the guys that were on the one more year fund, not to mention Mike Barrett among them. So they have all kinds of guys who decide that they're coming back. Now they lose some guys, mostly to the draft, and that was expected. Mike Morris, gone. Ryan Hayes, but I mean, he didn't make an announcement or anything, but he's down in Mobile for the Senior Bowl. I didn't include the Mike Sainer still news that happened in December. But you lose a few guys. Mazi Smith. Guys who could have come back and didn't. And you have the one that couldn't come back, and that's Olu. So it's a little bit of a mixed bag. You lose a few via transfer. Julius Welskoff, The most surprising one being Ayabi Oki, who had become a fan favorite the moment that he came to Michigan, which I miss him already. So you have all that. Then you get the good news. It sounds like the NCAA stuff isn't going to be much of an issue. And then a couple weeks later, it turns out that negotiations have broken down and Jim Harbaugh won't admit fault for the thing that the NCAA wants him to admit fault for, which we find out was just that he took a couple committed recruits out who showed up on campus during a dead period, took them out to lunch and paid for it. You know, the biggest deal that could possibly happen in the world. While it seems like that's all, we can put all that behind us, Jim Harbaugh tells Santa Ono, coming back. And everyone rejoiced. And that happened until the very next day when we find out that Matt Weiss is under investigation for alleged computer access crimes. And he is fired a week later. Not even, a couple days. Since Michigan goes on a very protracted search and brings in offensive analyst Kirk Campbell, who was already around, who we discussed the other day, yesterday. And I think that's the bulk of it. It's a wild month. Meanwhile, there's recruits that you think that Michigan's getting that don't. Basketball flails wildly. Looks good against Purdue and then awful against Penn State. What kind of world? It has been a heck of a month. So, for those who dislike drama when it comes to your favorite sports programs, congratulations. We're hopefully moving away from the drama. If you love drama, then February might not be fun. Knock on wood for all of that. For whatever you hope for. Anyway, that's going to do it. It's funny, that was going to be the whole show, that last segment. I was going to write it all down, but I figured it was more fun to do it this way. All right, we'll be back on Wednesday, and we're going to discuss some... Either we're going over whoever Michigan gets, talk about the class again, where it stands, my thoughts on it. Maybe it's going to end up being a little bit of a rehash. Hopefully it isn't. And we will go from there. Thursday, mailbag, Friday, who knows? And then, again, I'll probably crowdsource the topics for some of the midweek shows for next week. Just throwing that out there. If you have an idea, DM me of something that you want me to go in depth on, because we're going to be doing a bunch of episodes on either Sunday or Monday to fill out the week. Since I will be at Walt Disney World in sunny Orlando, Florida, and out of this 17-degree weather. All right, thank you for watching. Thank you for listening. We'll be back soon. Peace.